You know, people think I'm cheap. That's ridiculous. There's even somebody cheaper. Here comes the Colonel.
Oh, just cut out. A Jack Benny impressionist from the Comedy Central auditions that are held down the hall here. We share the building, the studio here with them. All right, welcome back. Second half hour, The Promise of Tomorrow, here on the Science News Radio Network. And don't forget, those of you who are listening on radio, you can hear us commercial-free online at promiseoftomorrow.biz. In just a minute here, we're going to hear from a scientist in the University of Houston working on fingerprint recognition that you won't believe. No, not optical, something entirely different. It was quite a surprise to me. They're going to be making a presentation at the Homeland Security Technology Conference going on November 12th through the 14th in Boston. You can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. Right now, though, let's step over to our fountain of useless information and for today's query, rummage around here in the coin jar.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, of course. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain for today's query because we threw in the coins and the proper payment. All right, well, spirit of the fountain, here's a history question for you. Who preceded Kurt Waldheim as United Nations Secretary General? He preceded Kurt Waldheim as United Nations Secretary General. Who was it?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Old Spirit of the Fountain has on his thinking cap, yes. Who preceded Kurt Waldheim as United Nations Secretary General? If you said Uthant, well, you're absolutely correct. All right. Now, back to our program. All right, we've got a fun bunch of scientists on the line with us today from the Department of Computer Science at the University of Houston, and they're presenting at the Homeland Security Technology Conference going on in Boston the middle of November. And we have with us Larry Shi, and Shi Chao, and a student by the name of Pranau, and Tao Phone. Their presentation is, get this right now, Touch Panel with Integrated Fingerprint Sensor-Based User Identity Management. And this has got to be just cutting-edge, fascinating stuff. So welcome all of you to the program. Shi Chao, Dr. Chao, you're going to you want to start off and give us an introduction to the paper and what y'all are going to talk about?
Yeah, sure. Hello, audience. I'm Shi Chao. I'm a research faculty in computer science, University of Houston. My expertise is biometric. So, Mr. Mason, I have a question for you.
Yes, please go ahead. What is it?
Do you use your password on your smartphone?
What is the password on my smartphone? Well, if you want to know something, I have a regular old-fashioned cell phone that I keep turned off all the time and only use it for emergencies.
Okay, so you don't use a password on your phone?
I don't use a password on my phone at all. In fact, I've avoided that. I know you think I'm last century, and of course I am, but I realize that the passwords are something that can be compromised very, very easily. And I think that you guys are probably pioneering a new way of identification using fingerprints. And I understand it has a great deal of application, such as in firearms. People could only shoot a gun that the gun belongs to, and there's probably a lot of other applications. So why don't you explain a little bit?
Okay, so based on our survey that most of people currently are using password on their phone, The thing is those passwords are not user-friendly. Think about your need to input your password while you're driving a car. That's dangerous, that experience is annoying and not user-friendly at all.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for this is because password is designed for computers, which has keyboard. But now when you use the mobile phone, you need to squeeze the keyboard on the screen, on the tiny screen on the mobile phone. Of course, it's not convenient. And furthermore, most of the people have to have multiple passwords for different websites. So it's hard to remember all of them. especially for the old people. So people feel frustrated when the password is not correct and got rejected from the website. And we're here to kill the password on the mobile devices, of course.
All right.
So our technique is basically authenticate users when they touch their touch screens.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the cases when users interact with their mobile phone, they use their touch screens. What if we can authenticate users on demand whenever they need it? You can automatically be logging into your account. So our technique is to authenticate you when you are on demand.
Mm-hmm.
You can be automatically logging into your account whenever you need to.
Okay.
So we propose a touch screen with integrated fingerprint sensors. So compared with the other techniques using the face recognizer to authenticate users,
mm-hmm.
our voice to authenticate users. Our technique is non-intrusive, it's continuous, and it's user-friendly, and it gets a kind of balance between usability and security. So we propose a new user identity sensing approach, basically the touch panel with integrated fingerprint sensor. Users interact with their smartphones mainly through the touchscreen interface. So it can be designed to use user fingerprints during the natural touch interaction for authentication. Our approach has some advantages over the other authentication schemes. Firstly, it provides more reliable identity sensing performance, simply because the fingerprint is reliable and a highly accurate data source for identity verification. Secondly, it's transparent to the mobile user and non-intrusive. Nothing specific should be done by user other than using their phone as normal.
All right, and I guess my question is then, you've got this perfected. I mean, this stuff is really, you've got it working there at the University of Houston. Is that right?
Do I answer your question? We are working on this right now as we speak on the technology that's coming up.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Well, okay, Pranav, then you're going to explain the hardware design, is that right?
That's correct. Basically, we see touchscreen in almost everything in today's world. You said you don't use phone, but I'm sure you have tablets at home, or people who have tablets, they have touchscreen there. You have a GPS on your car, which uses touchscreen technology. You have laptops that have touchscreen. Basically, touchscreen is becoming the most user personal kind of interface with the computer.
Sure.
Instead of using a mouse to click on a particular application, you use your finger. It becomes more personal.
Mm-hmm.
Smartphones have a touchscreen that is more robust and durable. This is a capacity of touchscreen. The advantage with capacity of touchscreen is that it is sensitive, very sensitive when compared to other forms of touchscreens. And it's durable. You don't need to calibrate it very often. It lasts as long as the device itself.
Okay.
And the best part is it has multi-touch features.
Mm-hmm.
Simple example is you can zoom in and out of pictures using the pinch zooming technique only because there is capacitive touchscreen in today's world. Fingerprints is very, very similar to capacitive touch sensing in the sense that fingers have ridges and valleys. The different striations on the finger, the different patterns,
mm-hmm.
are ridges and valleys. And this is very, very important electrically because it's the difference or the distance between the ridge and the valley forms a very important difference because it forms different values of capacitances when you touch the screen. To get a good background, I'll explain in short how the capacitive touchscreen works. Basically, there's a metal or a conducting element on the bottom,
okay.
and there's a dielectric medium that's sitting on top of the first conductive element. The second conductive or the conductive element that completes the circuit is your finger. Finger, as we all know, is conducting. You conduct through your body. You feel all these electrical pulses. That's where we get electrocuted. The the fingerprint is very unique to each individual person. So when you're using your phone, you might have seen, or when you're using anything that you touch, you might have seen that you leave a fingerprint mark on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
This difference is very important because it causes a voltage difference as due to the change in capacitance. So this is the way we can recognize recognize fingerprints using the capacitive sensing. It's this technology already existed some time ago, but it's not found its way into smartphone or any other business because it's not been developed on a transparent platform. Transparent electronics is an emerging topic. It's been coming out recent times. You cannot have a opaque display or opaque fingerprint sensor on a display because the phone becomes completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
So due to the emergence of the transparent TFTs, which are used in these kind of fingerprint sensors, the fingerprint sensing using capacitive sensing is possible only in recent times. Example, or I'll compare it with something that already exists in the market to have you know what is different from what already is existing. You might have heard the new iPhone 4S or iPhone 5S has a fingerprint sensor on its home button.
Uh-huh.
The difference between this and what we are proposing is this is an optical-based, the iPhone 5S has an optical-based sensor, which means that it takes a photograph of your fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lens, it has a camera sensor which takes a photograph, and then it compares with, it stores it somewhere, and then every time you try to authenticate, it compares your current fingerprint with the database. So this takes some time off of your routine, so you have to find where the home button is, and then you have to place your finger strategically so that it gets a good quality image, and then you have to compare it. In our technology, we don't have the fingerprint sensor outside the screen. It's embedded, it's strategically placed all throughout the screen, which makes it very simple and user-friendly because you don't have to do anything apart from the normal. You don't have to move your finger out of the screen or place it somewhere to get a scan of it. As you're using the phone, as you're touching the phone, as you're using various applications, your fingerprint is being recorded and it's being sensed. This is one of the very emerging, application-oriented way because you don't have to spend time on recording fingerprints separately. So if you want to authenticate, if you want to get into Twitter or Facebook, you just have to click on the app and it will recognize your finger automatically. What we are doing here is automating the fingerprint and avoiding users to use passwords and other kind of authentication system, which generally takes time, effort, cognitive and physical, because fingerprint sensor is going to help us in negating the password. To explain about the applications, I will pass it on to Tao.
Well, hold on before we pass it on to Tao Phone. I want to just restate what I think I heard you say, is that we've been thinking that fingerprint was going to be optical recognition, and it is in some cases, but in your case, you're actually having an electronic recognition because of the ridges between the lines of the fingerprint, of the thumbprint, conducts electricity, and your sensors are able to pick that up and determine whether it's my fingerprint or your fingerprint or somebody else's fingerprint. Is that what you just got through telling us?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. The different striations on your finger is enough. The capacitance value changes depending on the distance between the two plates. So but the fingerprint ridges and valleys or the fingerprint striations have a small difference. Even though it's a micrometer difference, that difference is enough to form two different capacitances which form different voltages. So basically, this is an electronic way of recording and reproducing fingerprint. It's exactly like capacitive touch sensing, but it's extended towards fingerprint.
Well, now, what's the problems with this? I mean, do you have to keep the surface very clean, or doesn't it get gummed up after a while? And what about the fingerprint moving around? Doesn't that change things? Are your sensors that sensitive?
There's nothing that you have to do or that has to be done differently. It's like using the regular phone. The main key is that fingerprint sensors are much more highly placed, or they have the pitch of the fingerprint sensors are very high. They're very strategically placed on the screen. So when you reach a certain, it's sort of a matrix of fingerprint sensors are placed on the screen. So when you touch the screen, it's so small that your fingerprint it covers more area of your finger than you can imagine. The fingerprint sensors are very, very small. So when you just place a small portion of your finger, you have 2 to 3 fingerprint sensors beneath your finger. So without your knowledge, you are already capturing a lot of fingerprint gestures into the phone, which is enabling you to authenticate all these various applications that come from that point onwards.
Well, what are the problems that you've had developing this? Surely you must be running into some monumental things when it doesn't work. What are the occasions that it doesn't work?
The few occasions we feel it doesn't work, or we've seen that it doesn't work, is when the matrix has to be very, very, strategic. The placement, strategical placement of these kind of sensors is very important. Because you place it too far apart, you might not get enough fingerprint. You place it too close by, you might get too much information, which might not be, which might not help us recognize it. So that is one of the challenges that we have right now.
Well, how close is this to being perfected and ready to be marketed? Are you guys on the verge?
Hopefully very soon, but it is only that Dr. Larry will explain you all those things during the future work.
Okay, that's good. So, Tao Feng, you're going to tell us about the several applications on this technology, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Ms. Mason. I will explain the applications of our technique. So, first, I want to share a piece of news I have recently read. A 14-year-old boy chunked up 4,300 beer on Candy Crush, a popular mobile game on the smartphone application market, and his father got really shocked about this. But we know that the children like to play with mobile devices such as smartphones and tablets, but we really do not want the children to perform such inappropriate operations, just as the boy did in the news. We will probably also not like our children to send a random email to our boss or post some game achievement or request to our boss. That would be really embarrassing and also a disaster. I have heard a company heard a MySweeper competition and filed the champion. We probably don't want to hear from our boss, "Wow, you are really good at this game."
Yeah.
Our technique can help eliminating all these troubles. Since our solution is on-demand authentication, it will protect the mobile continuously. When sensing the current user is not the owner, of the mobile device, but the children, it would not allow them to perform these sensitive actions, such as making a payment or sending an email.
Sure.
Also, our solution raises its potential to create a real-time multi-account management on one device. This means that after sensing the user's identity, it can provide a different UI and different functionalities to different users. It may also link the fingerprints with users' online accounts. So if you don't want your girlfriend checking your email, your smartphone will be really smart and take care of this. She can only access to her own email account and with her own fingerprint, even if on your device. There are many other use cases for our techniques. I cannot list all of them here, and I will just stop here and pass to Professor Shi for the future work and insights.
Oh, that's fascinating. Fascinating stuff, you guys. I'm telling you, and a little humor there, too, about keeping your communications separate from your girlfriend or your wife or your husband or whatever that happens to be. All right. Larry Shi, Dr. Shi, you're going to expand on this research in the future work, that sort of thing.
Yes, Mr. Mason. So, you asked that what are the challenges actually we're facing. Actually, we have to overcome many difficulties, and the approach in the paper, the one that we'll present, still uses a standalone touch panel and the fingerprint readers that are transparent. However, we cannot use the touch panel and the fingerprint reader at the same time if both of them are capacitive sensing based. so one has to be on and we can not be turned on simultaneously. So, however, we have a new approach and trying to have a single device that can act both as a touch panel and a fingerprint reader. There are other techniques we are also trying to explore, and that's what we're working on currently. And in terms of to have a commercial product, and that also that's beyond just research, because we need funding and then be able to actually fabricate, and there are a lot of still a lot of work to be done. But all the technology behind actually mature and there, and it's just a matter of time, and the people actually spend the investment and try to speed up the development. So.
Wow, fascinating stuff you guys are doing. And now, am I to understand all four of you are from China? Is it mainland China?
Pranav is not, right?
I'm the only one from India, down south.
All right, who's from India, Pranav?
Yes, I am.
And the rest are from China. Did you say mainland China or Taiwan?
No. We're all from
mainland.
Oh, that's sensational. And I have to ask you all, Pranav, you two, are we going to be able to keep you, you brilliant scientist in the United States, when you finish your work at the University of Houston, or are you all planning to go back to your homelands?
I think that depends on the job offer, right? The job here to stay here, but... of course, both choices are under our consideration, I think.
Well, that's fascinating. Well, we're real glad to have you, and I want to thank you all for being part of the program. You're going to make your presentation at the Homeland Security Technology Conference in Boston. Get this right now. Touch panel with integrated fingerprint sensor-based user identity management, and I'm just riveted. I found this most enjoyable, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
You know, my crystal ball maybe is a little bit fuzzy today, but I'm hoping that 15 or 20 years down the road that we have been able to make an impact in the communities in which we work to make them more resilient and adaptable to change, because there's one thing that I know, and that's change is going to continue to happen. If it's not global warming, it's going to be something else. And so working with these communities to make them more resilient to change and to help them drive their quality of life in a direction that they want to drive it. I don't want to see the status quo anymore. When I went to Nepal in the 80s, it kind of looks the same today in some of those communities, and I don't want that to happen in the next 20 years. Kathy Leslie, I'm the Executive Director of Engineers Without Borders USA.
So you decide. Has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.